Grow My Cleaning Company teaches owners of cleaning companies just like you how to grow your company, make more money, and finally take charge of your financial future and your life. This podcast is about automating and creating systems that give you time and money freedom so you can grow like crazy without losing control. Since this is totally free, if you're getting tons of value, want to support us and make sure that you get more of the good stuff, subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast today. Now, on to the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation. So excited to be with you today. We are doing quite possibly the most requested topic we get, how to bid cleaning jobs in 2020. I did one a long time ago that was kind of the definitive on the numbers and stuff, and we're going to recover that again today, but I wanted to go deeper. And if Lindsay's got the original one we did a long time, I've got so many views, so many whatever, throw the link in. You guys can have that as something to listen to after this. But we're going to talk about how to do that now, because if you guys and gals have been in the cleaning business for any manner of time, you know that if you bid too little, you get burned. You don't make any money. You can't grow. You end up doing a terrible job, hurting your reputation, like all sorts of bad things happen. The problem is there's people out there bidding stuff for ridiculous amounts. So if you bid too high, you won't get any business. So we're stuck between, or feels like we're stuck between this rock and a hard place of, if I bid too little, I'm going to get screwed. I can't grow. I won't make any money. I'll ruin my reputation. Won't be able to do a good job. Won't be able to take care of my employees. Won't be able to buy the stuff I need. But if I bid too much, I'll just stick here and never get any jobs, and that makes me sad. So today, you are going to discover how to always have the confidence that you are bidding exactly what you need to win bids and be profitable. I'll say that again because that's huge. Imagine, just we're going to be here like 20 minutes. You are going to have the confidence to know that you always are bidding exactly what you need to bid, not only to win bids, but be profitable. Lou Gelati in the house. I can never say his name right. He's like, it's like gelato, but gelati. Oh, so Lou Gelati, one of our amazing coaches here. Feel free to reach out and say hey to that dude. A, if you want to say hey just because he's awesome. Or B, if you need help, jump in and ask that guy because he's awesome. And I have to serve one to many, but he can talk to you one to one because that's how he goes. All right, so that's what you're going to discover. Oh, by the way, if you dig the show, guys, gals, ladies, gentlemen, listeners, otherwise, hook us up. Subscribe to the show, rate the show, review the show. For crying out loud, tell a friend about the show. Your support is what allows us to keep doing this. Put more time and money and effort into it to make it awesome. And it just helps me know that you dig it. So I think we've got a couple hundred reviews already, but it's not complete without yours. We always want more. That's how we do. Nikki in the house is here, ready to learn. So let's jump in how to bid properly in 2020. Have all the confidence you need to get what you want. So let's start with a story. John Zapata Restrepo. Good to see you, buddy. Start with a quick story that will help kind of put this into play. So, again, raise your virtual hand. Shout out in the chat for those of you that are with me live. And if you're listening to a podcast or watching me here on YouTube, in wherever you're at in the thing, raise your hand if you have been tempted to match your competitor's price, right? You're like, I bid this, and the guy goes, well, if you could do it for less or competitors do it for that, if you've ever been tempted, let me know. Hey, Ashley, good to see you, sister. Ashley's one of our Next Level members. I am going to get to meet her and her hubby. Ashley and Avery. Yeah, her hubby Avery. I always can get confused which is which. In Denver at our first event, I'm super excited to see all of you guys. All right. So we used to have a car dealership. And I remember going to the auction, and I always wanted Lexus. I like Lexuses. So I wanted to buy a Lexus. But the problem was, hey, Cecilia, but they're going for crazy money for like a year or two, and I never got it. And I was always tempted to pay, and I never did. And I finally found out we got one as a trade-in once, and it was like a 200,000-mile Lexus that was beautiful. It was like brand new, but with a ton of miles. And I forget what we paid for it, but I was really scared of that car because it seemed like it had so many miles. But I bought it, took the trade, and we put it up on our website. Within like 24 hours, a wholesaler that was going to send it to Saudi Arabia, paid our full, what we were trying to sell for retail, paid for wholesale. And then I started finding out, oh, there's a whole like line of people taking Lexuses to Saudi Arabia. So here's the problem. If I didn't know that that was the case and I tried to match what my competitors were bidding for these cars and pay up for them, I would have gotten screwed. If that wholesaler hadn't called me and bought it for the retail market, I would have been screwed, right? Retail people just weren't paying that much, but I didn't know. So that's a perfect example or story of we see our competitors doing stuff and we just match them without knowing why they're doing it or if it's working or what their purpose is or how it fits into their model, and then we can absolutely screw ourselves. So please, 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 don't go in bidding low or to compete with your competitors because we don't understand what their business model is, what they're trying to do, right? So, and that can lead to feeling like you have to bid every opportunity, and I'm doing the huge air quotes. By the way, everyone that's here, you can see Lindsay put a link into the other bidding deal I did years ago. I think I looked younger back then. Now I had more hair. I just got freshly shorn here. So I felt like, and you guys can tell me if you feel this way as well, that you have to win every bid. Everything's an opportunity. You got to get it. Every time we don't get a bid, we feel like we've lost. The reality is we have to get our minds around. They're only a customer if they pay profit, right? So if a job costs me $1,000 a month to perform and I'm charging $1,000, that's not really a profit, right? Or even if I'm charging $700, $800, but there's no money for overhead, or there's just barely enough money for overhead, it doesn't make any sense, right? So the reality is we got to understand, I forget, one of the smartest things I've heard is better to lose a winner than win a loser, right? In construction, if there's a bid, you bid and you get it, you're always happy. And then maybe you see like you got it by a lot and you're like, oh, what happened, right? So it's always better to lose a winner, right? Oh, I could have gotten this or whatever, but I missed out. We don't love it, but that's still better than winning a loser, right? Where you commit to a bid and it's way too low. So they're only customers if they pay profit and overhead. And the real problem wasn't losing bid. It was not knowing how to get enough of the right people to come to me. So believe it or not, and we're going to get to the mechanics of bidding, I promise you. But until we get the right people to come to you, you will never win on bids. There's no magic thing I can do to get someone that doesn't have pain or doesn't value the service that you bring to get to or understand why they would buy from you from someone else. There's no magic I have to help you win a bid with that person. So we have to get the right person and the right conversation and agreement first. Then you can win a crap ton of your bids and they'll all be profitable. So 3-step framework to bid successfully, properly, confidently, happily with certainty. Let's do it. Step one, understand who your ideal customer is and exactly what they want. If you miss either of those, you won't get it. If you're getting price objections, that's the problem. We get price objections. You're too expensive. I can get it cheaper elsewhere, blah, 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 blah. We get those and we think the problem is the price. It is not the price. It is one of two problems. You have the wrong customer, right? So if your customer doesn't care if people are insured or out of prison or we'll rob them at knife point or, just rob the prison or any of that crap or have insurance or a legitimate company. If they don't care about that and someone else is willing to do it like illegally or some weird thing with no insurance or no nothing, that's not your ideal customer. We try and convince them to pay our price. That's foolish. It's going to frustrate you and frustrate the heck out of them. Wrong customer. So the trick isn't to convince your wrong customers to try to act right. It's to move on, right? So that's the first thing. Second, you're not clear on their pain. So if they're the right customer, but you don't understand what they want, we're never going to solve it, right? So we have a cleaning company for our house. I don't know what we pay, but whatever they ask, the price doesn't matter. What I care is, are they insured? Are they going to make my wife feel comfortable? Are they going to, when I'm working and I'm home, are they going to kind of be here and not screw everything up? Are they going to make sure my dogs don't get let out? Those are my pains. It's not, we think as cleaners, like, oh, we got to get every last thing. And it's, who's going to clean the baseboards the best. And believe it, I know you're like, my customers tell me it's about how clean the baseboards are. That's just because we haven't done a good job of really understanding what they really want. If we ask better questions, we'll get that it's not the baseboards, it's how they feel when they come home. It's safety, it's security, it's something else. So if we don't understand our customers' real pain, and we can't help them understand it, then it's always going to be a price issue, right? Because to get my baseboards clean, I will pay very little for. To make my wife happy, I'll pay almost anything for. So if you come to me going, cleanest baseboards in town, right? Because a bunch of customers told you that's what they want. You're still not going to get the same results as happiest wife in town or happiest husband in town, right? Or more time with your kids or whatever they really want. So if they're not clear in their pain and what it's costing them and they don't believe you can solve it, it's always going to be a price issue. And it doesn't matter what you charge, they're not in, right? So here's the big secret. With each of the 3 steps, there's a big secret. Big secret to step one, understanding who your ideal customer is and what their pain is. Right offer to the right person equals always plenty of money. Say that again. If you make the right offer to the right person, there's always plenty of money. The only time there's a budget issue is if you made the right offer to the wrong person, right? If they're living in an apartment that costs them $400 a month to rent and your cleaning fees $300, that's that's the wrong offer to the wrong person, right? So if you get either of those wrong, either the offer or the person, like if you're not solving the right pain, you don't have the right person, you don't have it. But there's never going to be a budget problem when you get the right offer to the right person who understands their pain. That's step one. Step two, make sure that you have more than enough of them coming to you. And hopefully you guys are getting like, man, Mike hasn't talked a lot about like percentages and hourly wages and stuff like that. We're going to get a little into that. But believe it, that's not it, right? If here's the magic. When you have more people coming to you for help than you can possibly help, then you get to pick and choose. Then you get to raise prices, right? The easiest price raise is when people are like, I can't take another client, barely can handle the prices of the clients I have. Well, guess what? It's time for a price raise, right? But if you don't have enough clients, you get like one bid a month and that's it. And he or she may not even be the right bid. It's really hard to bid right, right? We've got 100 people that want in per month. It's really easy to kind of just dispassionately give a bid, right? So perfect example on this. I've been coaching now full-time for over 5 years. And my whole life, I've had businesses and done pretty well and had friends and stuff come to me and ask for help. And funny, the friends that come and ask for help just about never do anything and they don't ever get any results. The people that we serve here in Cleaning Nation get massive results. We change lives every day. It's my favorite part of the job. The difference is marketing. Right? The difference is the fact that the people that are my friends and just know me in my personal life, don't really understand or maybe care all the knowledge I have. They just see me. I actually had a friend, I'm not going to share her name, but she started a company and we get paid pretty daggum good. I don't do one-on-one, but if I did and someone wanted me for a day, probably 10 grand, 15 grand, somewhere in there. She was building her company. And she was shooting a video, promotional video, and she asked Natalie, my wife and I, if we would come and be in that video as people getting massaged. So there was like, in the video, there's people getting massaged and we were both face down getting massaged. And she's a friend, so we said, of course not. Of course we're happy to do it. So we went down there and, you know, I don't know, took an hour of our time and we laid there and got massaged and cut and whatever. And it was fine. It just thought, as I was laying there, I was like, this is so ridiculous. There's so many people that if they had me for an hour, would not just use the back of my head and my naked back and getting some massage therapist rubbing it for film. They would use something different. And the difference is marketing. It's marketing, 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 marketing. Had I marketed her, had she seen me right, she could have used me for a higher purpose. Same with you guys. If you have marketing and client attraction systems where people know who you are, and they know the value that you can bring without you ever having to talk to them, that's called marketing. When they come to you, it's super easy to give bids for the right amount. For my friends who hadn't been marketed to, right, they didn't know anything about this podcast or all the stuff that I do or all the stuff that we share with people teaching you guys and giving the value, they didn't know any of that stuff. So they got way less value and then, you know, I'll get one or two of them come to me a month, which is more than enough, and they never do anything anyway. The only difference is marketing. So the difference between someone that's ability to really see the value that you have and appreciate the value and going, I got three bids and this other guy's cheaper, I'm going to use him. Marketing, 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 marketing. So the big secret here is having too many prospects is the only way to really bid with confidence. So if you're constantly getting pushback on price, it's because you're not making the right offer to the right person. If you are constantly afraid that you have to go, you've got this internal pressure to go lower, it's because you don't have enough clients. You don't have enough opportunities to bid. So marketing will fix that. Nikki says, if you could give one good marketing tip, what would it be? That would be to go to subscribe to this podcast because we've done over 500 podcasts, dozens on marketing. That would be the sarcastic answer and the true answer. The other thing would be pain, 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 pain. Stop talking about you and what you want and talk about them and the pain that you solve. Stop talking about, I've been in business 20 years and I'm the smartest, best cleaner in the world and we do all this, and start talking about, are you a person that wants more time with your family and wants to feel good when you come home? That's the biggest secret I can give in marketing. All right, number three in bidding. Understand, now we're gonna kind of get to the nuts and bolts, but here's the thing, the nuts and bolts don't matter. If you don't have the right customer, you don't understand their pain, and you don't have enough of them coming to you, all these nuts and bolts won't matter. So I know when we talk bidding, people wanna immediately go to money. And that's what we're gonna do now. That's step three of the three-step process, but if you don't get the first two steps right, it's not really gonna work. All right, so step three, understand the cost to provide a service and bid based on math, not emotions. For any Ben Shapiro fans out there, he goes, facts don't care about your feelings. That's how we need to be with our bids. Math does not care about your feelings, right? So we've got to have a system that price is the same, whether it's, well, this lady's been with me for 30 years and she's on welfare and, you know, he negotiated really hard and told me if I did this one cheap, he'd give me another. All these stories are emotions. Facts are money, right? And it's crazy. I have people, all the clients that come to us, we have people, obviously not just starting because they wouldn't have any clients, but up to millions and millions of dollars, and their clients are all over the board, right? They'll have people they're making a 70, 80% cost of goods sold on. I've seen over 100% people making, having a 20, 30% cost of goods sold, like a 70, 80% net profit. And there's also, I've seen people with 100 and plus cost of goods sold, meaning they were literally getting $500 a month to spend $600 a month on payroll or to do the job, right? So that's from, that comes from giving bids based on emotion and not on math. This lack of ability isn't a math ability. We're going to teach you that. And it's very easy. It's lack of certainty, not doing steps one and two, right? When you don't have steps one and two, you get stuck on number three. So here's what we do to do this. You're just going to figure out the cost it takes you to do the job, right? So one is how many hours it's going to take your people. And we don't discuss all this cost with the customer. We only talk total investment and the problem that we're going to solve with the customer. We don't talk about hours or FUTA or SUTA or workers' comp or supplies or any of that stuff with the customer. We use it on our internal documentation. But when it goes to the customer, we just talk about the problem we solve and how much it costs to solve it. Internally, we figure out what it's going to cost. So that's basically typically 99, 98, 97% of your cost is just going to be labor, right? And labor includes workers' compensation, FUTA, SUTA, federal and state unemployment taxes, Social Security, all the stuff that your payroll tax guy, workers' compensation insurance, all that sort of stuff is included, right? So if you're paying 12 bucks an hour, you might actually be costing you $14.50 an hour. So make sure you get your total hour, your total cost per hour, multiplied times the hours per job, right? If it costs you 15 bucks an hour for people and it's going to be 10, two people, 5 hours, that's a 10-hour clean. It's a $150 clean, right? So we figure that and then you add mileage and drive time. A lot of people are like, do I pay my people? Of course you pay your people for drive time. If you had a job, and we don't pay them to get to work or to leave work, but if you had a job, they actually drive around, of course you can get paid for that. Okay. The easiest, quickest way to do that, we teach a 50, 30, 20 breakdown, 50% cost of goods sold, 30% overhead, 20% profit. The easiest way to do that is once you know your cost, just double it. If it costs you 100 bucks, charge 200. If it costs you 1,000, charge 2,000. Yes, this works in commercial. Yes, this works in residential. Yes, it works for larger commercial accounts that are $2,000 or $3,000. Yes, it works for smaller accounts that are $200 or $300. That will automatically make sure you have the overhead you need. So we teach it more in depth, but the easiest thing is just to double whatever your cost is. That will leave plenty of money for overhead and profit. And we can't get super deep into this, but make sure your cash flow is positive, not just paper profit. So that has a lot to do with when you get paid. You need to make sure that you're getting paid in advance and you've got actual cash. There's a very big difference between I still remember the year I had my construction company. We made $500,000 in profit. And at the end of the year, we had no money. And I did what I coach everyone not to. I went to my account and go, what the heck? I should have been on top of it earlier. And he goes, well, look at your receivables. Last year, they were $500,000, and now it's $1,000,000. So my receivables had gone up by $500,000, and we made $500,000. So guess how much cash I made in my business that year? Not a nickel. And depending on how your tax situation is set up, you might still owe taxes on that money you haven't even received yet. So really important that you understand how to be cash profitable, not just paper profit. So the big secret to step number three is you base it on math, not emotion. Every one of your cost of goods sold should be the same. I don't care about the story. It doesn't matter how long they've been with you, if they're rich or poor, if they negotiated or told you they gave you a bigger job or blah, 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 blah. The price is the price is the price. That's how it works. We know it's another thing. Oh, this is a fancy house. We're going to charge more. These people are broke. We don't do any of that stuff. Systematize based on math, not emotion. That's step number three. So now you know the real reason that you're bidding too low. You know that you either have the wrong customers, you're offering them the wrong solution, or you don't have enough customers coming to you. So you have to constantly be begging and competing with people that you shouldn't be competing with. And you understand the real cost of providing service is not just hours, but your workers' compensation, all the payroll taxes that are associated with that. And you know how to double that to make sure that you've got enough profit and overhead. We didn't get into it today. We'll get into another one. But overhead is a real thing. We always feel like, well, it cost me $100 to clean it, so I should charge $200. That leaves $60 for overhead and $40 for profit. But we tell ourselves, oh, this extra one little person won't add any extra overhead. That's a fool's errand. The overhead and profit are real. You have to do that. Don't be tempted to discount. You discount by 10%, that might be 50% of your profit. I can't get into how those numbers work right now, but it's the truth. And really, you understand why it makes no difference how much your competitors charge or how much money your customers save they have. You bid on math, not an emotion. So if this has been helpful and you're like, holy crap, I want this in my world. I want to be able to have the confidence, not just my bidding situation is correct, but my entire money situation is correct. And I have these systems and processes that attract the right customers and the systems and processes we're not talking about today, but that attract the right employees. You can book a call. Well, first of all, you can talk with one of the coaches right now in the chat. Just be like, hey, I need some help. We're going to sign off here pretty quick. So if you're live, you got to do it now or forever hold your peace. If you're not live or you're live, you can go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. To book a time with one of our coaches to walk through the systems and processes that you need to really get clear on where you're at now, where you want to be, and help you come up with a plan to get there. And I'll be honest, if that's something that we think we're a good fit, we'll absolutely tell you what that looks like. And if we don't, we'll still try and help you. We definitely do not make an offer to every single person that we talk to. But we do try and help every single person we talk to get the results that we want. So if you are digging what I'm saying and this has been helpful, jump on. Ashley says, yes, take the emotion out of bidding. Avery is super great at this. It's funny how sometimes we get spouses working together. One of the spouses will be really good at taking the emotion out, and the other won't be. Okay, so go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. You can book a time to jump on with one of our coaches. They will help you really just get clear on where you are, where you want to be, and help you come up with a plan to get there. We don't charge any for this. Our coaches are amazing. They're all handpicked. And they're ready to serve. And that's it, guys. Gals, really appreciate you. We'll talk soon. Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you're fired up, ready to grow, and want to see if you have what it takes to work with us at Grow My Cleaning Company, here's what I want you to do right now. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk. That's growmycleaningcompany.com/talk to book an appointment to speak with me personally. I'm going to jump on the phone with you to get you crystal clear on where you are now, where you want to be, and how to get you there. Don't walk around in the dark any longer. If you are serious about growing your cleaning company, it's time to finally get the systems in place that you need to grow. We've helped hundreds of owners of cleaning companies not only grow their business and their personal freedom, but give back to their community as well. If that's what you're looking for, head over to growmycleaningcompany.com/talk and book a time to talk with me personally. I can't wait to get to know you and your business.